Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In his State of the State address in New York City on Monday, Governor Cuomo announced he had finally achieved one of his long-standing goals, an agreement to close the Indian Point power plant in Buchanan in Westchester.
I've personally been trying to close it down for 15 years. Finally this year, I'm proud to announce that we have an agreement. Indian Point will close in 4 years, 14 years ahead of schedule.
While environmentalists applauded the planned closure, some local leaders in Westchester are concerned about the impact of replacing 25% of the power consumed by their community and New York City, as well as the potential loss of jobs and tax revenue. Joining me now with his reaction is the Westchester County Executive and the Republican nominee for governor in 2014 against Cuomo, you may remember, Rob Astorino. We'll also touch on some national politics. County Executive, hi. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
Did you happen to be listening just before the break when we were taking a little bit of the Ben Carson HUD confirmation hearings?
I was, yeah.
Any reaction to that? Because I know you have public housing in Westchester.
Sure.
You're not always loved by liberals with respect to some of your public housing policy. Is there anything that you, as a county executive, would want to see federal housing policy, done differently? Any way that you want to see it done differently? Any kind of Republican approach to that? He talked about, revising federal housing policy so it fights dependency in that little stretch that we heard. Anything that would be on your agenda?
Well, a couple things, Brian. First of all, we're all for public housing, for affordable housing, but affordable housing is no longer affordable for the residents who get placed there or live there with subsidies, or for those who are trying to build it, including developers and governments, because it has become increasingly difficult to come up with ways that we could subsidize affordable housing that makes sense for everybody. That doesn't mean that we're not building it. We are. We were doing it in this county before I got elected. We've been doing it for the last 7 years as county executive, and I pray that when I'm gone, whenever that is, my successor will continue to build affordable housing. There's no question there's a need for it. The questions, though, that we have are legitimate. The costs are exorbitant. And the system itself, I don't think we can say gets an A+, doesn't even get an A or a B. It's at best a C. And if we're going to settle for an average score, then we're doing something wrong. So I think what Dr. Carson is talking about is, how do we get people off dependency, that they live for generations perhaps in affordable housing that's subsidized? That's what we should all be hoping for, to lift up people out of poverty, to give them a good job, to give them home ownership in whatever form they choose, to be freely able to move in and around communities as they choose, as opposed to the government moving people around like chess pieces. I know, Brian, you were just talking about briefly, you alluded to the settlement that Westchester County had with Housing and Urban Development in 2009. Now, this predated me. The county executive was Andy Spano, who signed this deal. I happened to inherit it on my first day in office in January of 10, and it required the county to build 750 units of affordable housing in 31 mostly white communities based on the 2000 census. We had to spend at least $51 million to do it. And there were benchmarks along the way, which began in year two, that if we did not meet certain benchmarks with number of units under financing and then building permits, that we would get significantly fined. So I had some serious concerns about the terms of the settlement, because I knew it was going to give enormous power to the feds, that it was going to create problems that were unintended consequences or that were outright there in black and white for us to deal with. We dealt with it. There was contention sometimes between the federal government when they admitted that they overstepped their boundaries and demanded things that were not in the settlement, and that's where I held firm. But within the terms of the agreement, we did, and we accomplished it. At the end of last year in December, we blew through the milestone. So we've had a strong commitment to affordable housing. We'll continue to do that. But I do think Dr. Carson's correct in that we've got to look at different ways, because the 1960 model, which is really what the statues are all about, it's not necessarily apropos anymore, and it's certainly far more expensive. And the more expensive it is, the more it costs the taxpayer, the recipient, and the less likely a developer or a private enterprise will get into it unless they have heavy subsidies.
Can you think of any particular example? And I know we invited you on to talk about Indian Point, and I'm putting you on the spot about federal housing policy.
That's okay.
You're the Westchester County executive. But any particular kind of federal housing policy that would encourage less dependency?
Let me take the opposite of that. The rule called affirmatively furthering fair housing is something that I think Dr. Carson has to take a strong look at and potentially repeal. It's a law, actually it's a rule that HUD put in, and it can be changed and it should be changed. And basically what it does is it moves a lot of the authority to the federal government in land use decisions. So if you take money from the federal government for, say, community development block grant or other forms of aid from the federal government, you then give up a lot of rights and invite the feds to come in and have a lot of decisions and make, quite frankly, a lot of accusations based on their interpretation and their numbers, all statistics, on issues of that they claim are segregation and worse. It is very contentious, and what happens is housing then doesn't get built. And we don't want housing to be built through the courts, because that's not how it happens. It happens the way we did it when we had a real cooperative approach with our local communities. Because, Brian, I don't know about you, but, you know, trying to build a garage or a shed on your property is contentious with neighbors and neighborhoods and the process to get through zoning boards or planning boards. And you know, for people in the city, it might be different, but in the suburbs, land use is very contentious and difficult and long and sometimes expensive. So we're trying to make it easier. But when you have the federal government coming in making all these accusations, which were unfounded, and even the Second Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that there has been no finding of housing discrimination by Westchester County at all, and yet they kept making those kind of assertions. So the legal issues were separate, but the housing was getting built and did get built, and we're proud of that.
Interesting. All right. Indian Point.
Yes.
As Westchester County executive, do you support or oppose the announcement by the governor that Indian Point will be shut down in 4 years?
Absolutely opposed to it, and here's why. I've been very proud in my elections to have New York League of Conservation Voters endorsement and other environmental groups, and I certainly consider myself an environmentalist and a conservationist, but you have to find a balance. And even within the environmental community, there is disagreement on nuclear power. Some want it shut, and some think it's important to keep it open because it's viable, it's reliable, very little carbon emissions, so it's good for, you know, with the battle against climate change, and that it's a bridge to eventually get to renewables as a majority of our energy use. We're nowhere near that, and everyone agrees that wind and solar is not the answer yet, and it may take a long time to do so. So here you have something that's vital to New York City and Westchester. Up to 25% of all of our electric consumption comes from production at Indian Point. So you're going to take that off the market in 4 years with no replacement yet and probably none in the foreseeable future. Take that offline, which means rates are going to go up higher, and we're already number two in the nation for rates, highest, only to Hawaii, and we're going to beat them on this one. We have 1,000 jobs at the plant, another 1,000 that do business with contractors and the communities. When you listen to the economic impact, it's enormous. They spend over $30 million in taxes to Westchester, to the local village and town, to the school district, which will be devastated. So you're taking something that's absolutely needed, used, and by the way, it is not the big bad Indian Point. People, by and large, agree that Indian Point should stay open in Westchester County. In fact, the closer you get to the plant, the more support it has. So you're going to take all the good and get rid of it and leave all the bad, big, big tax holes, ratepayers going to get socked, and that property is going to be a wasteland because the nuclear spent rods are going to stay on site because there's nowhere to put them nationally. Yucca Mountain's never been approved, so there's no depository for this. So it's going to stay there. You cannot redevelop the property along the Hudson, so it stays permanently off the tax roll. So all the bad stays with us. All the good goes.
Now,
and it doesn't make sense.
Now, I think the governor and a lot of people who support the closing would say all of that may be true, and they would quibble with some of that, but even if all of that is true, it doesn't outweigh the God forbid issue, right? That here in the most densely populated area on Earth, the way the governor laid it out the other day, it's just no place for a nuclear power plant, just in case, God forbid, there should be another Fukushima, another Chernobyl, whatever it is.
There could be, God forbid, 100 times each day in our lives, right? God forbid you walk across the street, you get hit by a bus. God forbid you're on a plane. God forbid, you know, you go on and on.
Not at that level.
Not at that level, but it is infinitesimally small, the risk. Infinitesimally small. And, you know, you have to outweigh the good and the bad in everything we do, right? Life is all about risks in one form or another. The redundancies and the safety at Indian Point and all nuclear reactors in the United States, there's 104 of them, I believe. You have the NRC, which is instructed to look at the safety of that plant. Nothing gets more scrutinized, believe me, Brian, nothing gets more scrutinized than Indian Point. If a nut or a bolt falls off a door somewhere within there, somebody's screaming and yelling to close it down. The redundancies for safety is there in dramatic fashion. And so we have politicians using this as a way to, quite frankly, garner some votes or get some check marks with some particular groups. But overall, you have to look at the good and the bad, and the good far outweighs the bad. Now, let me take the point that the governor made with regard to a ticking time bomb. A little dramatic, I would say. But if it's a ticking time bomb, why would Governor Cuomo choose to raise his family close to the power plant? Because he did. I don't think he lost a night's sleep over Indian Point because he truly knew that it's a safe place. And by and large, most people are not losing a wink of sleep because they know the plant is there, it's safe, and you go on with your daily lives. So why is there a nuclear power plant 40 miles north of the White House? There are nuclear power plants in populous areas because they are populous and they need electricity. You've got it in Miami, in Chicago, in Philadelphia, in Boston, in D.C. You go on and on and on. Until we're there, decades from now, where we could rely solely, if at all, on renewables, we need to still have energy from other sources. Do we really think by closing Indian Point, the same people who want that shut are not going to block and fight with lawsuits and other issues the proposal, potential proposal, to bring from Quebec the hydropower all the way down the Hudson with cable lines into that area where is now Indian Point or wherever they would hook into it? There's going to be massive, massive delays and fights over that as well. So, you know, where are we going to be 5 years from now when like third world countries, we might have some rolling brownouts?
Let's take some phone calls for Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. And then I want to get to you with you to some of the actual logistics. You mentioned the school district that's going to have its tax base decimated. I think you're referring to the Henrik Hudson School District, which gets like a third of its revenue from the stats that I've seen from Indian Point and other logistics for actually adjusting to this, since it seems like a done deal. But here is Marilyn in Cortland Manor. Hi, Marilyn. You're on WNYC. Marilyn, you there? Marilyn once, Marilyn twice. Okay.
It's too bad because Marilyn lives in the town where Indian Point is. I would have liked to have heard what she had to say.
She told our screener she lives a mile from the plant.
Here's
Jeffrey, who also says he lives close to the plant. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm listening to Rob Astorino, and Rob, I think you're doing a good job, but I got to tell you that the perception that we all, the closer we get to the nuclear power plant, the more support there is for the plant is fabrication. We live close by. You now have a pipeline that's running within earshot of the plant that is an increased creates increased risk for terrorism. There have been many, many breaches in terms of security for the plant. It's beyond its useful life. So there is a tremendous amount of support against Indian Point and lots of support in favor of its closure. And my kids are in the Hendrick Hudson School. I'm more than glad to pay increased taxes to ensure the safety of my family.
I respect that. I will say this, though, that for a lot of people, including you, when you go to sell your house, the enormity of the taxes and the values of the home that will go down is going to make it very, very difficult for that entire community. I hope, you know, if there's a 30% tax increase or 40% tax increase, or there's massive cuts in education and teachers to that district, that, you know, that people can afford to make it whole. I hope you can. There's a lot of people who can't. And all I'm saying is, look, there's got to be a balance here. We have gotten no information whatsoever on how that is going to be made up. It was more towards let's run to close and then we'll deal with everything afterwards. And I'm very concerned about that for a variety of reasons.
So how do you close that gap in that particular school district? And do you have a number in terms of dollars that will be lost to the county's coffers that you'll have to make up in other ways?
Well, for the school district alone, it's $23 million. That is a lot of money. That's a lot of teachers. That's a lot of instructional programs. That's athletics. That's a lot. For Westchester County, it's $4.5 million plus another $750,000 that goes towards a fund that pays for four county employees in our Department of Emergency Services, which oversees the power plant. So, you know, for us, it's 1% on the tax rate. For the village of Buchanan and Cortland, it's a huge number. And, of course, for the school district, it's devastating. You also have a fire district there and the library district. They're going to get whacked. Now, for the governor to say that it's not going to cost the state anything, I hope he had his fingers crossed when he said that, because nobody, and I mean nobody, believes that to be true. It's coming from somewhere, either the right pocket or the left pocket, but it's coming from taxpayers somewhere.
Let me play that clip. Is 16 more seconds of Governor Cuomo on Monday.
It will close at no cost to the state. Our plan identifies sources of replacement power and transitions workers to new jobs. This agreement eliminates a major risk, provides welcome relief. New Yorkers can sleep a little better.
So he says it will close at no cost to the state. I don't know if that just means the process of closing or if he really meant that there would be no tax implications. Tax revenue implications. And
well,
the next day
at the State of the State, he said that there will be aid for the districts or whatever. So that's right. A complete false statement. Of course, I mean, you have to use common sense here and logic and not what you want it to be. If you're going to take this major billion-dollar-plus company that gives enormous amount of revenue, not only to the governmental agencies, but a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars to community organizations, to the arts, to all of that, they're going to be losing a lot of funding as well. So where's that going to be made up?
And he did say that the plan identifies sources of replacement power. You were saying before that that you don't know where the power is going to come from, and you were warning of brownouts. I'm sure he'd say this is ridiculous. There aren't going to be brownouts in Westchester County because Indian Point is closing.
Well, please identify where they're coming. He has not done so yet. In fact, he doesn't have it. Is he banking on the transmission cable from or gas lines? And the gentleman who just spoke before, I don't know if he was one of them, but we've had major protests over there on the Spectra gas line. So, you know, if you're going to have a transmission cable coming down on the bed of the Hudson River, you don't think there's going to be fights over that environmentally? The gas pipelines, nuclear is off. I mean, you know, we're starting to run out of legitimate sources of energy for this region. Everyone likes to plug in and charge their iPhone at night and put their air conditioner on or get hot water. You know, there's a lot of consumption that's getting bigger and bigger right now in this region as we grow and add new things. That takes juice, and if you don't have that electricity, then you've got to start consuming it. You've got to start restricting. And so it's either that or you pay a lot more. Look what happened when his father closed Shoreham Nuclear Power Plant in Long Island. It cost enormous amount of money by the state, and they're paying, I think, third highest in the nation behind the Con Ed region for their power in Lilco.
So issue engaged, how to transition from Indian Point now that Governor Cuomo has announced an agreement with Entergy, the owner, to close it in 4 years. We're going to jump into the James Mattis confirmation hearing now. So I want to thank you, County Executive of Westchester, Rob Astorino. We always appreciate when you come on. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Brian. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Senator Gillibrand is questioning General Mattis right now on women in combat. Let's see how that's going.
Spending, assigning women to combat units and other items. You believe that the American public is not nearly as concerned as it should be that the changes to military policies are accruing risk to our forces. We fear that an uninformed public is permitting political leaders to impose an accretion of social conventions that are diminishing the combat power of our military, disregarding our warfighting practitioners' advice. Do you believe that openly serving homosexuals along with women in combat units is undermining our force?
Senator, my belief is that we have to stay focused on a military that's so lethal that on the battlefield, it will be the enemy's longest day and their worst day when they run into that force. I believe that military service is a touchstone for patriots of whatever stripe. I mean, it's simply the way that they demonstrate their commitment. And I believe that right now the policies that are in effect, unless a service chief brings something to me where there's a problem that's been proven, then I'm not going in with an idea that I'm going to review these and right away start rolling something back.
Do you believe that allowing LGBT Americans to
serve
in the military?
We wanted to hear this line of questioning.
All right. And that feed being interrupted, as we've been hearing a little bit of New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand questioning General James Mattis, Donald Trump's nominee to be defense secretary. At least in that clip, we heard him promise restraint in rolling anything back with respect to LGBT inclusion in the military. He did say going into this hearing that he didn't want to use the military for social experiments. He's on the record from the past in being skeptical about women in combat to the extent that the Obama administration has enabled that on the front lines for the first time. So that questioning will continue, and of course we'll have more details and highlights as it goes on. Senator Gillibrand's role is very interesting here, partly because she's already announced that she will vote against the waiver that General Mattis needs in order to even become defense secretary. A little earlier in the hearing this morning, he was voicing his support for the idea of civilian control of the military, which is, of course, an American tradition. We have civilian control of the military. We don't want this country ever to be militarily controlled by a junta or anything like that, as has been the case in different countries of the world at different times. So we have a rule that you have to be out of the military for 7 years before you can be considered for defense secretary. And General Mattis has not been out for that long. He is retired as a general, but not for 7 years. So he needs a waiver that Congress needs to vote on, or the Senate needs to vote on. And Gillibrand has already said she will vote against that waiver because she thinks the notion of civilian control of the military is so important to a democracy that it shouldn't be compromised, even if she sees him as otherwise qualified. So that's going to be one vote that the whole Senate has to take. Then she will probably get to decide independently whether she casts a vote for confirmation or not as a separate matter. So there's a little context of what we just heard between Senator Gillibrand and General James Mattis, Trump's nominee for defense secretary.